Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Tina Horn, and this is Interrobang. Interrobang is the bonus segment of my Wire People Into That podcast. Follow at Tina Horn's ass, or at Tina Horn's ass, if you're nasty, on Twitter and Instagram. Visit wirepeopleintothat.com. Support my show and get extra shit at patreon.com/TinaHorn. That's patreon.com/TinaHorn.
So, I'm very excited to welcome Stephanie Berman to the show today for an episode of Interrobang. So, Stephanie is an inventor and an entrepreneur, and she, you know, I'm excited because I don't often get to interview people who have invented unique sexual products. So I'm excited to just have you explain what it is and to hear more about your story. So Stephanie is the creator of something known as the Pop, or the Pop Dildo. And I am really hoping, Stephanie, that you can explain what that is to my listeners.
Yes, well, thank you very much for having me on. I'm very excited as well. It's always fun to get to share a little about the product and the story. So thank you.
You're welcome.
This whole idea, I mean, it literally started out of necessity for my wife and I. We were trying to start a family of our own, and basically, at the options at that time for us were doing basically what they call them assisted reproductive technologies, which is a really fancy way of saying artificial insemination, or basically procedures that are done in a doctor's office that are very costly. And for my wife and I, it didn't really fit with the experience that we wanted to have. And again, I don't take anything away from anyone that chooses that option, because it does work, it's viable, but for us, it wasn't the route we wanted to go. And so then, sort of assessing what the other options were for us in terms of home insemination, it's the dreaded turkey baster or a needleless syringe. So, you know, again, a lot of people and couples use those things, and they use them successfully. But again, for us, it was like, oh, is that really all we have? Is that the best we can do? So we did try those things, both of them. And yes, we did try turkey baster, which was terrible. I mean, for us, again, if someone else had a good experience with it, then I'd love to give them a high five, because it's really hard. It was very challenging for us to make a turkey baster sexy and romantic, and like I always try to envision, like, how would you make your partner orgasm with a turkey baster? And like, I always think of it, and like, if someone has achieved that, then again, I give them a lot of kudos for that. So again, in our experiences, it just wasn't, you know, these things weren't working for us, and so we were left feeling really sort of discouraged in our process. And I've always been of an entrepreneurial spirit, mindset. It's always kind of been this little secret burning thing that I've had inside of me. And traditionally, I worked for my family business, which happened to be women's reproductive health. And I still do that. I still work with my family business as well. So that sort of aligns with those medical technologies that are available. So you'll kind of see how this all pulls together in the end. So I kind of had this medical background per se, although I'm not a doctor. I had this medical background of seeing couples go through IVF and artificial insemination and knowing how that process was and the devices they were using. So I knew a lot about making babies, but when it came to my wife and I being a same-sex couple, things were really different for us. You know, it's a whole different process. So,
yeah.
And that's when, again, you know, we tried all these other technologies that were available to us at home, and just they didn't feel like that was going to work for us. So I just started doing a ton of research, trying to see if there was anything else that existed. And, you know, I don't like to say I didn't reinvent the wheel in this idea. I really didn't. You know, like, a lot of people are like, oh, I've thought of that before. And I've heard people talk about the idea of creating a dildo that ejaculates. But to my utter shock, nobody had actually invented it at that time. Nobody had brought something that, you know, was not only high quality but hygienic as well. So again, I didn't reinvent the wheel. There's other ejaculating dildos that are on the market, but the ones that were available at that time were either made with really shitty materials, or, you know, and a lot of the ones that are out there, you know, they have tubing that's inside of them, but it's glued into the shaft of the dildo. So
that's hard to disinfect. Yeah.
Yeah, like, how could I properly clean that, especially if I'm going to be putting sperm in it, you know? Like, there's no way that I would feel comfortable using something like that. I'd have to buy, you know, I'd have to buy a dildo every time I was going to use it. So, and that was sort of, you know, that's kind of how the overlap happened from my knowledge in sort of on the medical side of things, and then putting that into application when designing the toy. So I really tried to think of, you know, let's go beyond a basic ejaculating dildo. What are some nuances that I could create that could really set this toy apart? And so after a bunch of prototypes and working through the kinks of making a functioning toy, I had one, and my wife and I tried it. And on our second try with the toy, my wife got pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah. That's the same reaction I had. It was like that huge moment of like, holy shit. Like, not only is my wife pregnant, but this thing, this little brainchild that I just created, it actually worked. So it was like this whole surreal moment. And that was when it was just like, I knew I was onto something. And that was really when everything started to really move forward. And I brought this product to market, and 5 years later, I have another child from the toy as well. That one, my wife and I, we used Pop for to conceive our second child, and that one happened on the first try. So crazy luck that we had, and two babies later.
Wow. Okay. That is a hell of a story. I guess one thing that I want to ask you off the bat is, why is it important for the process of impregnation to be erotic?
To be what did you say? I'm sorry.
Erotic, like sexy.
Oh, erotic. Oh, okay. Yes. So there's actually a lot of science behind not only a woman having an orgasm, but just, I mean, people will, you know, this is no secret. Stress is a huge factor when trying to conceive. So if you're in any sort of stressful environment, and that's why I feel like a lot of people aren't successful, because there's so much pressure involved. And, you know, you're putting this pressure on yourself, your partner, like, you, if you don't get pregnant, you're like, oh, I'm a failure. Like, there's just so much emotion and the cost and all of these factors that everyone's constantly thinking about. So I think being able to be in the privacy of your own home, doing things on your time, on your terms, basically taking control of that situation, my partner and I found to be extremely empowering, and it really just, like, it set the whole tone, you know? Like, I was able to really feel like I was a non-caring partner. My wife carried both of our kids, and, like, for me, you know, I really wanted to feel that involvement and really feel like we were connecting in a way that, you know, was unlike how we would be able to in a doctor's office. You know, like, yes, would I have been able to be in the room with her and holding her hand and all of that? Sure. And is there emotion involved in that? Yes, absolutely. But actually being able to, like, physically have sex with my wife and feel that connection, I, you know, there's really no way to describe it. So there's sort of that piece of it. And then when a woman has an orgasm after the sperm has been basically, with my toy, basically it coats the tip of the cervix. And so when you have an orgasm after that, it makes the cervical os, which is the opening of the cervix.
Yeah.
It almost, it starts to pulsate, and it basically serves as a vacuum to the sperm. And that's sort of the sort of science behind the lovemaking per se in that process. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, it does. That's also blowing my mind. I'm definitely imagining like a sperm soaked pulsating os right now.
Yeah, that sounds sexy.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Production aside, it seems like there are a lot of potential uses for an ejaculating dildo. So, you know, my mind goes to a kinky place, to a sort of gender fuckery place, you know, I'm even thinking about, you know, this isn't necessarily kinky, this is more of a gender affirmation thing, but I'm thinking about how it feels to pee through a pee spoon, you know, especially ones that are representational, right? So it feels like I am, like, holding my dick in my hand, and then, and then urine is, like, you know, I have to figure out, like, where to point it, you know, and just what a head trip that is, and how much fun it is, and how it teaches you to see the world in a different way, right? So I'm sort of imagining. I've never used the pop or any sort of ejaculating dildo before, which, hey, I guess there's something I haven't done. That's nice.
There you go. Add it to the list.
But that's sort of that headspace is part of what I'm imagining, that wearing it could produce. And then, of course, then there's the feeling of, like, having somebody ejaculate on you, that maybe is wearing the dildo. Have you talked to folks who like to use the pop for kinky and or, like, gender play purposes?
Yes, definitely. So it's actually, and your response, like, one of the things that I love most is, like, when people hear about the toy, I love seeing, like, where their mind goes first.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating and interesting to me, and it actually, like, it's given me such an education in this journey. When I started, again, 5 years ago, I never that an ejaculating dildo. Again, it was like, for my purpose, it was for making babies. And now I've learned so many people and communities that were seeking out a high quality ejaculating dildo. I mean, I got an email early on from a mixed status couple. And so one of the partners was HIV positive, and they did want to use it for conception purposes, but this was a way that enabled them to do so without the concern of transmission. And just like so many weird, not even weird, but just like different nuances and all of these things that I never even imagined. So I do love hearing people's initial thoughts when they imagine the toy. So so I love yours as well. And yes, it definitely aligns a lot with the people that have their support for the product. So you know, just to name a few, I mean, the transgender community, female to male, I mean, I've gotten a huge amount of support from that community.
Right, speaking of gender affirmation, that being able to actually ejaculate from your silicone cock is, and the pop is harness compatible, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually, so the tubing that threads through, one of the nuances that I created was, so in a lot of the ejaculating dildos right now, you know, the tubing will come through the base, but it just sticks straight out. So if you were to put that in a harness, it would be super uncomfortable for the person wearing it. So
right.
On the pop, there's a chamber that basically is on the side of the base that the tubing lays nice and flat into, so, and it doesn't kink the tubing or anything, so you're able to basically, after you thread the tubing through, you lay that tubing flat on the base, you put it in your harness, you have a little, you know, there's a little extra tubing where the bulb is, so you can kind of tuck that into one of the either Velcro or whatever kind of harness you're using, and then have it readily available when you're ready to ejaculate. So that's one of those little nuances I was talking about, that having, considering the comfort of the person wearing it and also the person receiving it. So yes, definitely harness compatible. And yeah, for gender role play and gender affirmation, I mean, now you can have, you know, if you've had dreams of like getting a blowjob and being able to actually like ejaculate and finish, you can do that now.
That's fun.
So, you know, I always like to say you can kind of let your imagination run wild with the toy, which, again, is something I love so much about it, is because, you know, in terms of what you want to put inside of the toy as your liquid as well. I mean, you know, sperm, obviously, for that intended purpose. But for the more kinky, you know, for these types of utilizations for the toy, I mean, any kind of lubricant. We actually just recently launched a custom lube called Pop Lube. I've partnered with Sliquid, which is one of my favorite lube companies. And so it's a custom formulation, so it looks like sperm. It's got that really creamy, soft, silky, smoothie feel to it. So it's super fun for kinky fetish play. So you can use that. I mean, you could put chocolate sauce in there. You could put anything you want. I mean, obviously, being mindful of where you're going to be squirting that. Obviously,
right.
You wouldn't want to put chocolate sauce inside of your body. But
no.
Using your wits about you, you know, you can get really creative with it. And that's something, again, I love the versatility in that sense. Like, people can really let their sort of kinky, you know, passions and desires kind of run free with it. So,
gosh, now that you're talking about, like, foods, I'm thinking about enemas and how, you know, I definitely know folks and have participated in enemas that involve things other than water, such as wine, you know.
Wow, okay, like, I've never heard that one.
Yeah, I mean, proceed with caution. Don't try this at home without the proper knowledge and research, folks listening at home. But I'm just kind of I'm thinking about like squirting whatever like in somebody's, you know, rectum with this toy. Yeah, I see. Yeah. Of course, this is where my mind is going, Stephanie. So
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's part of what makes my job so wonderful.
And even, I mean, I'm even thinking about how there are lube shooters, basically, that like, if you want to get lubed really like deep inside someone, like usually like deeper inside someone's butthole. So this could be used for that. You could really like shoot some lube deep up inside someone with just like the head of the dick, and then they're like ready for more lubed up ass fucking.
Yeah. Totally. I actually, there's somebody that I know that does a lot of shoots using glitter lube with the top dildo. That's like their big thing, is like all these like point of view blowjobs using glitter lube. So it's like, well, you really should let your imagination run wild.
You are really speaking my language now.
See?
Well, you know, it's so interesting to me because I think that, well, what I like about using my imagination for this is that I guess I've always thought that one of the key features of dildos is that they don't ejaculate, that that's like a pro, that that's like a good thing about them, that you don't get knocked up from a dildo. Now, of course, you know, that's about choice and the right moment. You know, sometimes some people do want to be knocked up, so it's exciting to imagine that even things that you sort of get used to what their purpose is, that could be queered in a way. You've kind of like queered the dildo. Who knew that dildos could be even more queer? But I think you achieved that.
I've never heard that description, but I like it.
And of course, I love what you said about mixed status couples. That's actually really powerful and beautiful to hear. And it also occurs to me that, you know, just like I advise people that you don't have to, that people of all gender identities and, you know, genital configurations can use dildos and use strap-on harnesses, it occurs to me that, you know, there might be folks, and I believe that it mentions this on your website, that folks with disabilities or erectile dysfunction, you know, who, you know, or maybe folks who are a bit older, this could be a way to experience ejaculation or a certain kind of ejaculation that they, you know, perhaps could experience in the past, but can now, or maybe they feel they have a self-consciousness around it. And this could be a tool and a toy to like liberate them from that self-consciousness.
And that's also been something that I've found as well. And, you know, oftentimes, like the majority of my emails, yes, they're coming from, you know, women and same-sex couples, but I do get some occasionally from men. You know, they're asking me, do you have anyone else that's using this? I have erectile dysfunction, or, you know, I have a disability, something of that nature. And they're looking for that something to take that stigma away and take that sort of embarrassment out of the bedroom. You know, all they want to do is be able to please their partner, and they, you know, whatever that's going to take, and being able to provide them with something that can do that, it's just like, you know. And then I get these emails a couple weeks later being like, my wife or my partner was so like overjoyed and pleasured and excited, and they're thanking me, and I'm like, I didn't really do anything. But, you know, it's just, it's so wonderful to hear people's experiences, and I really feel feel honored when someone wants to share their experience with me. And, you know, and that includes people's success stories with having families. Like, I just got an email on Sunday, another couple, they sent me a picture of their newborn daughter, you know, and just sharing those positive experiences with me. It's super humbling, and at sometimes it's just like it's mind-blowing to me. It really is.
Well, that is beautiful. If people are interested in getting their hands on a pop dildo, where can they get it and where can they learn more?
Well, there's we're sold in lots of retailers across the state. We do have on our can always order direct from our website, which is www.popdildo.com. And if you are looking to go see one in a store in a local retailer, we have a list of our retailers on the website. There's videos on there. There's all kinds of cool stuff. And then, you know, we're obviously on social media, so you can find me there. And, you know, one of the things I also love to share with people is that I do this business entirely on my own. So if someone's emailing, they're getting an email from me directly. It's not a blanket email. And that's part of what I love about this is being able to connect and have dialogue with customers. It's like, as I was saying, that for me is one of the most rewarding parts of all this. So I welcome people to always reach out to me if they're, you know, if they think it's a question that I haven't heard, it's probably likely that I have heard it already. People are like, I'm sorry, is this weird or embarrassing? I'm like, nope, not at all. Bring it on.
Oh my God. Amazing. Stephanie, is there anything else that we haven't touched on that you want to make sure that we touch on before we close up?
I think the only thing is, if people are interested, I would just say stay tuned. I am working on some new versions of the toy.
Cool.
So those are super exciting. I'm actually working right now on more of a packer type.
Ooh.
And I'm also working on different sizes. We do only have one size right now, and it does tend to be on the girthier side.
Mm.
So trying to make different versions of the toy that will sort of accommodate more needs. So I would just say for people to, you know, follow us on social media, and we'll keep updating and send feedback and questions. So that would probably be it.
Wonderful. Well, you are a fascinating person, doing such an original thing, and I have been, so happy to talk with you, and I can't wait to see, where the pop dildo goes, all of the different ways that it, all the different things that it does, and the places that it goes, and, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, absolutely, my pleasure.
Vacation, new locations. Oh.
Interrobang is produced and hosted by yours truly, Tina Horn. Our theme music is by my brother from another mother, Moot. Thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.